Hare Krishna, everyone. Thank you for joining the teleconference class today on Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, 18th chapter. Guru Maharaj will be talking for about 40 minutes, and then we'll have questions and answers. And at that time, I'll give you instruction how to ask a question. Okay, and Guru Maharaj is in California right now. Thank you very much, Guru Maharaj. So over to you.
Hare Krishna. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Hare Krishna. Yeah, as Atma Ram Das, Atma Ram Krishna Das mentioned, that now I am in California, and because of travel and various programs, I could not give the class last week. But I am happy to be able to give the class again. And actually, as you can well imagine, while traveling, I have to give, well, first of all, traveling schedule, then going to different places, meeting people, and mainly different programs that they have, it becomes a little difficult to maintain the regular schedule of giving the class on Saturday. Anyway, I'm happy that today I'm able to give the class. Yesterday, I mean, during the last class, we discussed about 16th and 17th chapter, and we discussed how Kali was punished by and rewarded by Parikshit Maharaj. Parikshit Maharaj, when he saw what Kali was doing, Kali was torturing Mother Earth and crippling Dharma, breaking the legs of Dharma, he was introducing irreligiosity. As a king, Parikshit Maharaj immediately took action. But Kali begged forgiveness. So this is the difference between a Kshatriya and a Sudra. Kali is actually a Sudra. A Kshatriya, when he is challenged, he fights. And even if he surrenders and submits himself, he remains truthful. But Kali is treacherous. Kali begged forgiveness. He and Parikshit Maharaj forgave him and gave him places to stay in his kingdom. But Kali did not remain faithful and subordinate to him, but Kali wanted to take revenge. And this chapter will describe later part of the chapter, how Kali actually took revenge. And Kali, so Parikshit Maharaj was cursed by this Brahmana boy, Sringi. And in this respect also Prabhupada pointing out how the Brahmana is also degenerated in this age. Because the Brahmanas are meant to remain peaceful and composed, merciful. But this boy, being agitated, cursed the king. The personality who was actually protecting the earth so nicely. Due to his influence, everybody in his kingdom was so peaceful, was so prosperous, was so happy. But he cursed that king without considering how the world was benefiting due to his presence. Because of his personal interest, he just cursed him that you die within 7 days being beaten by Taksha. And so this is the nature of a sutra. He was a Brahmana, born in a Brahminical family. But it shows that how in Kali Yuga the Brahmanas also became like Shudras. Without considering the consequences, he vented his anger and die. Why? Because I am offended by you. I am angry with you. Without considering the benefit that personality was actually rendering to the whole world. But here, Suta Goswami described that Parikshit Maharaj was totally unperturbed. When he got the news that he has been cursed by a Brahmana boy, he knew that Brahmana's curse will not go in vain. After all, he is a Brahmana. He appeared in a very exalted family, in the family of Angira Rishi, the son of Brahma. His father also was an exalted personality, but he became a product of Kali. Although he had the knowledge, when he heard that his father has been treated in this way by a Kshatriya, his reaction to that was, first he considered that how a Kshatriya is lower than a Brahmana, and he is a Brahmana. Vanity, vain pride. I am a Brahmana. And this Kshatriya, look how they are behaving. They don't have any consideration of respect for the superiors. They don't have any consideration of etiquette. Look how he is behaving with me. So that was his mood. And he cursed him, but he was powerful. Although he was affected by the influence of the age of Kali, but he had the Brahminical power, which today's Brahmanas do not have. That is because there is no Brahmana. He was a Brahmana. Qualitatively, he was a Brahmana. Therefore, although a little boy, he had this power to curse. And what kind of curse? Curse to a Parikshit Maharaj, a pure devotee of the Lord, that he will die within 7 days. But eventually we have to understand that this was actually Krishna's arrangement. A pure devotee of the Lord is always protected by the Lord. We saw Parikshit Maharaj, when he was in the womb of his mother, he was protected by Krishna from Brahmastra, the most powerful weapon in the universe. He was protected by Brahmastra. He was in this way saved by Krishna as a little baby, not even a baby, in the womb of his mother, actually as an embryo. But that embryo was saved by Krishna personally. And this is how exalted was the Parikshit Maharaj's position. So when Parikshit Maharaj dies, or Parikshit Maharaj is destined to leave this planet due to the curse of a Brahmana being beaten by Takshaka, we have to understand that it was Krishna's divine arrangement. Just as Krishna made the the Jadus fight with each other and kill each other before Krishna was about to withdraw his pastime. Krishna considered that now I'm leaving this planet. Now I called my associates from Vaikuntha to participate in my pastimes. So now these pastimes are coming to an end. I'm going to go back to Godhead, go back to the spiritual world. So let them also go back before I leave. So Krishna made them come, and now Krishna is making them go back after accomplishing the mission that they were supposed to execute. So we have to understand that Parikshit Maharaj's departure was actually an arrangement of Kali. I'm sorry, arrangement of Krishna. although cursed by Kali, but it was actually a divine arrangement of Krishna. And Suta Goswami described, Parikshit Maharaj was not affected by that when he got to know about that curse. He took it, oh, Krishna's arrangement. Now I have to prepare to leave. So that's why a pure devotee of the Lord is never afraid of dying. Because he knows that he knows Krishna. He knows his identity as the spirit soul. He knows about his relationship with Krishna. And he knows that he is simply acting as a puppet in the hands of Krishna. He doesn't have any independent will. He does not have any separate desire from Krishna. Whatever Krishna wants, he is prepared to do. That is a pure devotee. And that is the meaning of, that is the difference between conditioned soul and liberated soul. The conditioned souls decide what they want to do. They have a desire, they have desire separate from Krishna. They have their independent desire, their own desire. And because of that desire, they remain in the material nature. Whereas a liberated soul, he is perfectly connected to Krishna. His consciousness is perfectly tuned to Krishna. Whereas a conditioned soul's consciousness is separated from Krishna's. Originally the consciousness is coming from Krishna. Krishna is the original source of consciousness. Just as although the ray of sun is displaying some light and heat, but that light and heat is coming from the sun. It is not his own light and heat. But because he is a part of the sun, because he is a ray of the sun, some light and heat is flowing through him. But originally the light and heat is from the sun. Similarly, a living entity is like a ray of consciousness, a spiritual spark. And as a spiritual spark, he has some consciousness, but that consciousness is linked to Krishna's consciousness. That consciousness is perfectly connected to Krishna's consciousness. Therefore, he simply acts according to Krishna's desire. He doesn't have any own independent, separate desire. So that is a pure devotee. That is the difference between a conditioned soul and a liberated soul. Therefore, a liberated soul, meaning a Krishna conscious individual, whose consciousness is perfectly connected to Krishna, doesn't have any separate desire. His consciousness is simply connected to Krishna's consciousness. He acts whatever Krishna wants. He simply acts as an instrument in the hands of Krishna. Krishna is the player and he is an instrument. Therefore, a devotee always remains unperturbed in happiness and in distress, in pleasure and in pain. Just as Krishna always remains unperturbed, being connected to Krishna, a devotee, a pure devotee of the Lord also remains unperturbed, unaffected. So Suta Goswami therefore explained that how Parikshit Maharaj was not at all affected when he heard about that curse. Rather, he accepted it as a benediction. Now the will of the Lord is for him to go back. So he did not make any arrangement to defend himself. Rather, he prepared himself for that occasion. Okay, now let me fix my mind at Krishna's lotus feet. Because in the material nature, we get distracted. The more responsibilities we have, greater is our distraction. A king has to take care of so many things. Therefore, although he is Krishna conscious, but there is a tendency and there are occasions when he gets distracted from Krishna's lotus feet. That's the difference between a person who is meditating on Krishna's lotus feet and a devotee who is rendering service to Krishna's lotus feet. A devotee who is rendering service to Krishna's lotus feet for Krishna's pleasure sometimes becomes agitated because he is affected by his surrounding situation. That is the difference between a Brahmana and a Kshatriya. The Brahmana lives in a solitary place, away from materialistic influence, material, the hustle bustle of the material nature. Whereas a Kshatriya stays in the material nature, rules over his kingdom, but on behalf of Krishna. So Parikshit Maharaj therefore considered, oh, now is the time. I got the warning. I got the reminder. Within 7 days, now I have to go back to the spiritual. I have to go back to Krishna. So he just went to the bank of the Ganges. And he prepared for his departure. And at that time, Sukadeva Goswami came. That was also a divine arrangement of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And in a way, we can see that Parikshit Maharaj had to be cursed in order for Srimad Bhagavatam to become manifest. It's all Krishna's arrangement, like Krishna's pastimes along with his devotees is like a drama on a stage. The scriptwriter, the dramatist, writes the drama with such expertise. The drama means conflict. The more the conflict, greater the drama. That's why we see whenever Krishna comes, there are conflicts with the demons. And that creates the excitement. And the message becomes clear. The picture becomes painted in black and white. In one side there is the hero. On the other side there is the villain. In one side there are the devotees. On the other side there are the demons. And the devotees conflict with the demons. By the divine arrangement of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The demons conflict with the Lord. And the devotees side with the Lord. Therefore, there is a conflict between the devotees and the demons. But the devotees always win because they are with Krishna. Krishna is the supreme controller. Krishna is the supreme proprietor. So he is coming to organize this play. He is the hero. So in the Vedic drama, hero always prevails. The defeat of the miscreants and victory of the virtuous. Victory for the devotees and defeat for the demons. No matter how strong, how powerful they may be. So, Parikshit Maharaj just playing his part, playing his role in this transcendental drama called Krishna's pastime. In this transcendental drama, he is playing his role. And the arrangement of this drama is let Srimad Bhagavatam become manifest. Now that Krishna has left this planet, along with dharma, jnana, and other all virtues, Now that Krishna has left the planet, now Krishna is making the arrangement for Srimad Bhagavatam to appear. And this Srimad Bhagavatam will give what Krishna comes to give. This Bhagavatam will create the auspiciousness all over the world that Krishna creates when he comes. So this is Krishna's divine arrangement. And so Parikshit Maharaj went to the bank of the Ganges and preparing himself to leave his body in Prayupaveshan. Upaveshan means sitting down. He is sitting down to give up his body. No food, nothing to drink, no sleep, just fix the mind at the lotus feet of Krishna to prepare himself to leave his body. And at that time, Sukadeva Goswami came. And Parikshit Maharaj surrendered himself at his lotus feet. An ideal disciple and an ideal spiritual master. An ideal spiritual master has perfect knowledge about the spiritual reality, about living entity spiritual identity, the identity of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the relationship between the living entities and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sambandha abhidhaya prayojana. A spiritual master has perfect knowledge about who is Krishna. Jai Krishna Tattva Betta Shai Guru. One who knows Krishna in truth, he is capable of that. And by knowing Krishna, jasmin bigyate sarvam evam bigyatam bhavati. Knowing Krishna, everything becomes known. He knows who Krishna is. He knows what a living entity is, and he knows what the material nature is. These are the three aspects of knowledge. Jiva's identity, Krishna's identity, and material nature's nature. What this material nature is, and what is the purpose of a living entity's being in the material nature. What is the purpose of a living entity getting a human form of life in this material nature, especially in the Vedic culture. A living entity gets the human form of life, and when he comes across the Vedic culture, which means Krishna consciousness, the essence of Vedic culture is Krishna consciousness. But when one comes across Krishna consciousness, he gets an opportunity to complete his mission in this world. He gets an opportunity to free himself from the material bondage and go back to the spiritual world. So this is how Krishna actually prepares a living entity, by giving him a human form of life. So the human form, the most important consideration for a human being is to become Krishna conscious. And one can become Krishna conscious only by the mercy of a devotee, a bona fide spiritual master. In this way, the living entity becomes eligible to go back to Godhead, becoming free from the bondage of material nature. So Parikshit Maharaj had the good fortune to come across a bona fide spiritual master. Yes. Here is the personality who knows Krishna. Krishna se tomar, Krishna dite paro, tomar shakoti. Krishna is yours because you know him. And knowing him, you became a devotee of him. That's why Krishna has become yours. Because you love Krishna, Krishna has sold himself out. Krishna has become your property. So you can give Krishna. Tomaru shakoti achi. You have the power. So Parikshit Maharaj came across Sukadeva Goswami, son of Vasudev, such an exalted person. A pure devotee from his birth, an eternal associate of Srimati Radharani. Eternal associate of Krishna. And and this is how being connected to Krishna, a pure devotee becomes free from fear and anxiety. He is not afraid, even at the face of death. And and he is free from anxiety. Anxiety also is a kind of fear. In German language, the word fear is Angst. The word for fear in German is Angst. So we can see the link between fear and anxiety. All our anxiety stems from fear. So fear is actually causes anxiety. So in this way, Parikshit Maharaj, due to becoming sheltered by a bona fide spiritual master, was free from anxiety, even at the face of death. And also Parikshit Maharaj, it has been mentioned that Parikshit Maharaj knew what was going to happen. Parikshit Maharaj knew that Kali is to enter. Kali has already entered. He knew that. Kali actually entered as soon as Krishna left this planet. When Krishna left this planet, then Kali entered. But the situation of the world was so Krishna conscious at that time. The situation of the world was so spiritually surcharged that Kali could not spread his influence. We see that he was trying to spread his influence by attacking the bull, Dharma, and torturing Mother Earth. So that was, Kali was displaying his nature. And you can see this is what is happening in this age of Kali. Mother Earth is being tortured. All the endeavors that are going on in name of technical advancement, material prosperity, is simply exploitation and tormenting, torturing Mother Earth. All the garbage is being pulled out from the depth of the earth, and the whole atmosphere is being filled with this garbage, petrol. What is petrol? Which is considered to be the liquid gold in this age, but petrol is actually the garbage of the earth. And this garbage is being pumped out. And that has become the most, this garbage has become most valuable object in this age. Fights, wars are going on between nations for the sake of this garbage. And why this garbage has become so valuable? Because to run the machines, you need garbage. This garbage, all these machines that they have invented, they run with this garbage, petrol, and petroleum products. Coke, oil, gas, they're all the garbage of this earth, which was kept at the depth of the earth, now they are being pulled out. And Mother Earth is being tormented in so many ways. So So this is the age of Kali. And people have become completely engrossed. People are becoming enticed, allured towards sinful activities, illicit sex. Sex is Krishna himself. Dharma abiruddha kamosh. For the sake of procreation, there is a need for a man and woman to become united. That is the purpose of sex. But today, they are becoming involved, indulged in all kinds of sexual activities, just for the sake of momentary sense pleasure. And that has become the whole purpose of people's existence. Illicit sex, intoxication, meat eating, so many cows are being slaughtered in this age. So this is a clear indication of Kali's progress. During Parikshit Maharaj's time, Kali could not progress like Kali could not establish his influence. Therefore, Kali had to get rid of Parikshit Maharaj. And Parikshit Maharaj, although could kill Kali, but he forgave him. He spared his life. He spared his life because he saw that Kali has, Kali Yuga, the age of Kali, or Kali's rule on this planet has one benefit. Asti hi eka mahan guna. Kalir doshe nidhe rajan, asti hi eka mahan guna. Although the age of Kali is the most sinful age, it is like an ocean of sinful activity, as if the whole world has been submerged in an ocean of sinful activity. But Ostihi Eko Mahan Guna has one great guna, great advantage, great quality. And that quality is, that advantage is Kirtanadeva Krishna Se Mukta Sangopana Praja. Just by chanting the holy name of Krishna, one becomes mukta, free from material bondage. What an easy way to get out of the material. So that was Parikshit Maharaj's consideration. Spare Kali. Don't kill him. Let him spread his influence. Although in one hand he will damage, he'll cause so much damage to this planet, but there is one advantage. Let us become connected to him. Let us allow him to spread his influence. Kirtana Deva Krishna Se. So that in this age, just by chanting the holy name of the Lord, one will become free from all his material contamination. So much so that he'll be able to go back to the spiritual sky. Just by chanting the holy name. And also another great advantage of this age of Kali is by chanting the holy name of Krishna, following the process that has been given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one can go back to the topmost region of the spiritual sky, Golok Vrindavan, in Krishna's pastime. Now, Golok Vrindavan is beyond Vaikuntha. Spiritual sky is generally indicates Vaikuntha. But Vrindavan is beyond even Vaikuntha. So in this age, people are getting this benefit. Just by chanting the holy name, one will be able to enter into Krishna's Braja Leela. That is the And in this chapter, it has also been described that how, why, that it was not befitting or it is not unbecoming of Parikshit Maharaj to get angry. He was hungry, he was thirsty. And at a time like that, one may lose his mental composure. And for him to react like that or to act like that, to take the snake and put it on the neck of Shamik Rishi, was not really unusual for him, unprecedented act. This act was not unprecedented. Prabhupada used that expression. Because when one becomes hungry and thirsty, especially, he was not expecting any food, he just expected some water being so thirsty. And when he didn't get any response from Shamik Rishi, he became angry. So that was all right. It was not unusual, unnatural for him. But Shamik Rishi's son, Sringi, reacted in a different way. When he got to know that his father has been treated in this way, he just became very, very angry. He started to curse. He started to, first of all, abuse the Kshatriya class, calling them all kinds of names. Because the Brahmanas are superior to the Kshatriya. So, vain pride. I am a Brahman. See why this Kshatriya is treating us. But at the same time, we see some Krishna consciousness in him. He said, now that Krishna has left the planet, this rogues and rascals are becoming prevalent, so prominent, because Krishna has left. Okay, Krishna has left, but I will show my power. So that was his move. Okay, I'll correct them. Because Krishna has left, that's why these Kshatriyas are behaving like this, disrespecting the Brahmanas. So I will show. So he cursed. But when Shamik Rishi got to know about that, he was very upset. And he said some very beautiful things about Parikshit Maharaj. That because of such king, the world is experiencing such prosperity. Everyone is so peaceful, everyone is so happy. Because he has properly established Krishna consciousness in this woman. And now you cursed such a king. It was the most unfortunate act. He knew, Shamik Rishi knew the power of his son, and he knew that his words will not go in vain. When he said that he will die being bitten by Taksha within 7 days, after 7 days, he knew that it was going to happen. But at the same time, he could not tolerate the act of his son. And so, in this way, Shamik Rishi also displayed his greatness. And then Shamik Rishi begged forgiveness from the Lord, that he forgives his son, because it was he actually committed a great Vaishnava aparadha. So Shamik Rishi could understand that, and that's why he begged forgiveness. Please, my Lord, forgive him, that he doesn't get destroyed because of the Vaishnava aparadha. We know the Vaishnava Pura, the result of Vaishnava Pura. And Durvasa Muni became angry with Ambarish Maharaj, and he wanted to destroy him. But the result was Sudarshan Chakra came to destroy him, Durvasa. But in this case, Sudarshan Chakra did not come to destroy Sringi, because this was Krishna's arrangement. Krishna wanted Parikshit Maharaj to go back. But Sringi's father became concerned that, after all, this is a great Vaishnava Param. Parikshit Maharaj is a great devotee of the Lord, very dear to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and my son has committed an offense to him. And so he begged forgiveness. And this is the quality of a saintly personality. He always remains composed. He doesn't get agitated. Like Sringi became agitated, but Shamikrishna's reaction was completely different. When he came out of his trance, he saw the snake around his neck. He didn't get upset. He coolly took the snake and threw it away. So in this chapter, we get to see how Parikshit Maharaj reacted, how Parikshit Maharaj became cursed by the Brahmana boy, and how he reacted. And in this way we can also see that how a devotee always remains peaceful, like the reaction of Parikshit Maharaj. At the face of greatest difficulty, being cursed, he remains so Krishna conscious. And that is what, through these pastimes of exalted devotees of the Lord, we have to learn how to remain peaceful and unperturbed at the time of difficulties. The worst difficulty will be the time of death. So when death comes, how should we face death? When you get to know that death is coming, how should we react? Devotee will always remain peaceful. Now that's what Krishna wants. Krishna gave me such a nice body. Krishna provided all the facilities to maintain this body. And it is because of this body I came across a Mahabhagavat, a Mahabhagavat's teachings, Srila Prabhupada's divine arrangement. And it is due to the divine arrangement I somehow got an opportunity to become connected to this Krishna consciousness movement through ISKCON. Now let me take full advantage. And it is because of my connection with ISKCON and due to Srila Prabhupada's teachings, I got to know what's the goal of life. Goal of life is not to just enjoy through sense gratification in the material nature. Rather, the goal of life is to free our businesses here and go back to Krishna. The goal of life is to become engaged in service of Krishna. So, as long as we are here, we become engaged in serving Krishna. And then, Krishna will make arrangements to go back to Him. So, death will come as an opportunity to become more nicely engaged in Krishna's service. When the body becomes old and infirm, when the body becomes totally incapable to act and render service, it's better to leave this body. Because we know that when we get another body, that body will provide us better opportunities to serve Krishna. So a devotee at the prospect of death does not lament, but he rejoices. He rejoices. He doesn't repent. He rejoices. Oh, it is such a wonderful opportunity now. Leave this body and be prepared for another body. A new body. A new situation. And my prayer is, Krishna, in whichever situation you put me, please allow me to remain Krishna conscious. Please allow me to remain with your devotees, because in the association of devotees, I'll be able to remember you. In the association of devotees, I'll be able to render service unto you. So that is the mode of the devotee. Thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande. So does anybody have any questions?
Hare Krishna, if anyone has any questions, please dial *6 on the teleconference. Please dial *6 on your keypad and you'll be placed into the conference queue. And when you hear the message, you can go ahead and ask your question. So *6 to ask the question. And on Mayapur TV, on Mayapur TV, we'll take questions by chat as well. Okay. Guru Maharaj, Hare Krishna, can you hear me?
Hare Krishna?
Yeah, Hare Bol Prabhu. Guru Maharaj has just dropped out of the call, but we're trying to bring him back. So just bear with us one second.
Okay, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Yes,
Hare
Krishna.
Yeah, Atmanav, I got disconnected for a moment.
No problem, Guru. So we have one question from the teleconference now.
Yeah.
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. This is Nandadalal Das.
Yeah, Nandadalal. Hare Krishna.
Guru Maharaj, you know, we are really grateful to you for giving us the opportunity to, as you said last week, you know, I'm still reminiscing those moments. Guru Maharaj, my question is, you mentioned about Parikshit Maharaj that, you know, and he tolerated, although he could have annulled the curse by singing. He had that power, but, you know, he accepted it as Krishna's directions. Means, you know, he's in a wish, so he accepted that in death. Does it, you know, tell about the that Brahmaji, when he prayed, Saptenanukampam Shushumkshamanu, Punjanabutmanakudan Vipakam, Read Bhagbapur Vidhadan Namaste, Jivata Yumukhudishodaya Bhai? So he was accepting that. It looks like, you know, he is following the prayer that Brahmaji had already sung long ago.
Yes, he accepted. Like, that is the mood of a devotee. Whatever is happening to me is a result of my karmic reactions. And my business is to remain surrendered and submissive and sheltered by Krishna's lotus feet. And Krishna also takes care of his devotees. And the devotee has full confidence about that, that Krishna will take care of me. Yes, very good point.
Thank you, Guru Maharaj.
Yes. Hare Krishna.
Yes, Guru Maharaj. We don't have any more questions on the teleconference, but if we do on the on Mayapur TV, then we can take from there.
Is there any question in Mayapur TV, Suman?
Yes. So there is a question from Pawan Bajaj. And he says, Hare Krishna Maharaj, Dandavat Pranam. My question is, great devotee like Parakrit Maharaj is sent to this material world to act as arrangement of the Lord. Is non-devotee also act in the same way?
Okay, there's a question of Pawan Bajaj from Delhi, from Gurgaon, that a devotee always accepts everything as Krishna's divine arrangement. Does a non-devotee also do that? The answer, is the line clear, Atmaram?
Yes, ma'am. Yes,
I'm hearing some noise. Okay. So the answer to that question is, a devotee is one who knows Krishna and he knows Krishna's power and influence. But a non-devotee doesn't have. He doesn't either have any knowledge about Krishna, nor does he have any awareness of Krishna's potency. That's why non-devotees do not depend upon Krishna. It's only the devotees who accept everything as an arrangement for Krishna. And a non-devotee simply struggles to overcome those arrangements unless it is favorable to him. Favorable things he accepts and unfavorable things he tries to rectify. Now body is becoming sick. Why should my body become sick? Let's go to a doctor. The doctors cannot do anything. Let's go to an astrologer. And let us go to this person, that person. They make, first of all, they try to make arrangements themselves to avoid or avert that undesirable situation. And when they themselves cannot do anything, then they try to make arrangements in different ways to avoid that situation. That is the attitude of a non-devotee. Whereas a devotee's attitude is, well, if that is what Krishna wants, I am ready. Krishna, if you want me to die now, I am ready. I am ready to go. Because I know, wherever you take me, that situation will provide me the opportunity to serve you. So that is the mood of a devotee. Okay, any other question? Suman, any?
Yeah. One more on Mayapur.tv from...
Yeah, in Mayapur.tv. There is another question.
It's from Ramola, and she's asking, Guru Maharaj, please, can you elaborate more on the purport that Parakrit Maharaj made, organized efforts for faith chanting?
What arrangement Parakrit Maharaj made?
Elaborate on the purport that Parakrit Maharaj made an organized effort to propagate chanting. Was the chanting of the holy names established long before Lord Chaitanya Sankirtan movement?
Yeah. There's a question from Romola from South Africa that asking me to elaborate on that point, that Parakrit Maharaj knew the benefits of the age of Kali. So was there Sankirtan movement already prevalent before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance? No, Sankirtan movement was not prevalent on this planet before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance. But Parikshit Maharaj knew the influence of and effect of the age of Kali. That Kali Yuga is like, for example, when King Nimi, long time ago, met Navajogendrama, the nine saintly personalities, the nine sons of Bharat, King Rishabhdev, Bharat Maharaj's nine brothers. Then from them, Nimi heard. They actually told about the benefit of the age of Kali. So Parikshit Maharaj, being fully aware of scriptures, had that understanding that what will happen in Kali Yuga and what are the advantages of the age of Kali. Like, he knew that Kali Yuga will become very, very sinful. But in Kali Yuga, there will be disadvantage. Just by chanting the holy name of the Lord, one will make spiritual advancement rapidly. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and he established that Yuga Dharma. Parikshit Maharaj knew the benefit of chanting the holy name of the Lord, but it was not presented to the general populace. Like, that was done by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Actually, the holy name is always there, and the benefit of holy name is known to the exalted devotees of the Lord, pure devotees of the Lord. Like, Parikshit Maharaj knew, but the Sankirtan movement was not prevalent at that time. So, Atma, any other question from there?
Yes, Guru Maharaj, there's one question on the teleconference.
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj. Please accept my humble obeisances. This is Aditya Narayan Das.
Oh, Haribala Aditya Narayan.
Guru Maharaj, you mentioned in the class about the point between the difference between a person who is actually meditating on the lotus feet of Krishna versus one who is actually actively engaged in service and how he is affected by situations like this. Can you please explain more on the point that was on the experience?
Okay. You see, that is the difference between Shantarash and other four rasas, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsala and Madhur. In Shantarash, one simply meditates upon lotus feet of Krishna. Therefore, they do not become so much affected by the affairs of the surroundings. Right? Like a person who is in a trance, like Shamik Rishi. He was meditating on Krishna and he was in a trance. And being in a trance, you see, he did not have any awareness of the surrounding world. That's why when Parikshit Maharaj came and asked for some water, he did not respond because he was not aware of it. Similarly, when Parikshit Maharaj put a dead snake around his neck, then also he was not aware of it. So that is the situation of a person in Shantarash meditating on Krishna.
Yes, Krishna.
But when one is in Dasyaras, the mood is different. Like Hanuman's attitude. You Ravan, you rascal, you are treating my Lord in this way, you have stolen Sita Devi. I will show you. You see the difference? Like Hanuman is getting affected by the happenings of the surrounding. Or Arjun fighting the battle of Kurukshetra. Bhima fighting in the battle. Right? Or the cowherd boy is becoming perturbed by seeing the demons coming to attack. Right? Gopi is becoming upset that Krishna was supposed to, Radharani becoming upset that Krishna was supposed to come at night, but he did not show up. And she's angry. So you see, that is the difference between Shantarash and other four rasas.
Yes, so a devotee who actually experiences these four rasas, like the emotions in these four rasas, is actually superior to the Shantaras because he has emotions for Krishna's pleasure.
Exactly. Exactly, yeah. He is actively involved in Krishna's pastimes, or he's actively involved in serving Krishna. So this
Thank you so much, Guru Maharaj.
Thank you. Hare Krishna. Okay, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. And unfortunately, next Saturday, I'll not be able to also give the class because I'll be in Italy attending the Ratha Yatra in Florence. So hopefully next, the Saturday after that, I may be able to. Thank you. Hare Krishna, everyone. Jai Srila Prabhupada.
Thank you very much, Guru.
Thank you, Atma. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. So, just for everyone else, as Guru Maharaj mentioned, next week we won't have a class, but we'll try and schedule one as soon as possible after that. And to hear a recording of this class, please look in the same Google Drive folder that's mentioned there in the announcement. And please keep watching on BCS Istagoshti and on Guru Maharaj's Facebook page for announcements for future classes. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Jai Srila Prabhupada.
Thanks.